This is the May edition of Mondays with Mike. Good morning, I'm Joy Kerdine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is here with the latest on WPR programming and operations and special events. We will discuss some upcoming listener appreciation events around the state. We'll welcome your questions and your feedback on what you would like to hear or not hear on WPR. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Kerdine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Kerdine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you here, Mike.
It's good to be here.
And welcome back from your trip to South Africa. You had an amazing time, I understand.
It was just incredible. For people who don't know, WPR has a number of friend and fundraising trips over the course of a year, and I had the privilege of joining mostly WPR listeners. There were a few people from other places in a trip to South Africa, and the headline for me was that when you're flying to South Africa, it's very, very, very far away. We spent 21 hours in planes to get there, and you're thinking, why am I doing this to myself? This is so difficult. When you're leaving, exact same path on the plane, you're saying, how soon can I go back? The people are incredible. The landscape's incredible. Their history, of course, is stunning in its all the kinds of stories and what we can learn about our own history from their history. Just an amazing trip.
Yeah. Well, welcome back. And I just got back from my road trip around the U.S. It was a vacation last week, and that's one reason why we didn't do Mondays with Mike on the first Monday of the month when we usually do is that I was away. But I had a wonderful time. Not quite as exotic as you, but I went to Ohio.
Yeah.
and Virginia and Nashville and all sorts of places. But we had a very nice time. Thank you to John Munson for filling in for me. And thank you to my producers who work extra hard when I'm away and we have a host hosting remotely from Superior, as John was. We had some sad news in the past month. Chapter a Day, a longtime Chapter a Day in Wisconsin Public Radio employee, Carl Schmidt passed away. He passed away in late April. What did Carl Schmidt mean to Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike?
He was part of the heart and soul of our history. You know, Carl was someone who helped kind of bring the modern era of public broadcasting, public radio, into being through his leadership. But he also just, in terms of his life's work, represented all kinds of parts of WPR's history. He started in 1941.
Wow.
And had been on the air. He went off to war and then came back. And among other things, he helped to produce Earplay, which was a national radio theater program. He was a founding member of the board of National Public Radio. And for many, many years, he was a reader on Chapter a Day. And I think we're just finishing up one of his readings in an encore broadcast over the last recent couple of weeks. And so it was a happy coincidence to be able to hear his very gifted reading when we got the news that he had passed away.
Yeah.
He had a wonderful phrase that I love to repeat. There was a video done when he was inducted into the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. And he said that he thought the epitaph for himself and for, as he put it, WHA, for Wisconsin Public Radio, he said, a good deed in a nasty world.
Oh.
And he said it with that rolling, deep voice I could never imitate, but a good deed in a nasty world. That he was very happy to have done something that touched people's lives and made them better.
Even though your impersonation there was not perfect, I could hear his voice. I mean, that it just Carl Schmidt is reading from Driftless, a novel by David Rhodes. It will be the Chapter a Day, 12:30 today through the 13th of May, so Friday, May 13th.
And one of the highest pieces of praise that Jim Fleming, who actually produces Chapter a Day and is also a reader, is that he said that it's his sincerest dream to do what Carl has done, to read late into his 90s or into his 80s and even into his 90s, and to continue to have that gift and power throughout that. And Carl was especially special to Jim, but to many people here.
So is Wisconsin Public Radio doing anything to celebrate and or remember Carl Schmidt?
I'd say that we've kind of been following with the family. We had a good number of people attend the funeral mass, which was very touching, and it was an opportunity also to meet a number of people who had retired or moved on from their work at WPR, and that was a lot of fun. If you can say that you have fun at a funeral, yeah. we really did. And no specific plans. I think Carl probably would be proud to have the work stand, so it's not impossible that we'll continue to have an occasional repeat broadcast from his readings.
I'm Joy Cardine, along with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He joins us once a month to share news with you about WPR and to answer your questions and respond to your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question or a suggestion, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So this week, we have a pledge drive. We start a pledge drive tomorrow. Wow.
it's short, but we are approaching the end of our fiscal year, which ends June 30th, and traditionally we have a pledge drive right about now, and the specific dates are chosen every year, of course. And truth is, pledge drives remain the single best way for us to find new members and to encourage current members to renew their support. Probably the biggest change that we've been seeing, and this has changed the goals in terms of dollars and so on for the pledge drive and number of people contacting, is we've had a lot of people sign up as sustainers, the monthly contribution from the bank account or from a credit card. And that has had a real impact on how many people we need to hear from in a pledge drive, that sort of thing. It's proving to be a really solid base of support. But the pledge drive is still a big deal.
And we will have any kind of special thank you gifts. I think we have an artist mug or something along those lines.
We do, and it's should be really neat. I love to have this as one of the thank you gifts, because it helps us to represent our own state by featuring an artist from our state. So it's a limited edition, meaning this is the pledge drive. We'll have it from artist Chris Gargan. He's from Dane County, and it's a custom piece that he created for this year's mug. It was painted near his Mount Vernon farm. And so when people make a donation of $13 a month or more, they can have that as their thank you gift. Also, if people would like to kind of try out a membership, maybe at $5 a month, we have an offer of planting a tree in Wisconsin.
I love
as
that.
A thank you gift.
I think that's very neat. And I know that we will, as we often do, have a special mini money booklet from Kevin McKinley. It's the On Your Money Rules of Thumb mini money booklet, which will be a thank you gift for a pledge of any amount during On Your Money, which will be tomorrow at this time.
Yeah, well, so I hope that that inspires the usually quite large number of pledges that come in for Kevin's show and to support all of WPR as a result.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about fundraising. We'll talk about some special listener events coming up. We'll talk about other special programming, and we will welcome your questions and your recommendations for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let's take a call or two as we have full lines. Kathy in Madison is with us. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, I'm calling about finding a way to include the younger generations, make some programming available to them. I know I listen to public radio quite a bit because I'm in the car. I'm no longer raising children. I'm at home doing something. And I have different opportunities, but I know the younger generations, we will need to get them on board in order to be able to continue the programming on public radio. Otherwise, if it's just relying on older people to make the pledges and be sustainers, then eventually we older people won't be able to do it. So I'm trying to think of programs to appeal to parents, to appeal to people with school-age children, appeal to people with young children, appeal to someone even younger with no children who's in the car driving around looking for a radio station.
Yeah, and that's not this show, Kathy.
This show is fine, but the younger people, this show is great, but I try to listen to your show every day, but for a while anyway. But I don't know that we're getting in the younger people interested. And there are different times that different age groups listen to the radio. So there's some research that needs to be collected in order to figure this out.
Yep, all good ideas. Kathy?
Mike.
Yeah,
that's
Mike,
me.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks, Kathy, for the call and the suggestions. I happen to be at National Public Radio. As some people know, I'm on the governing board of NPR, and I was down there this past week. And they were talking about this rather extensively because young people, and not only young, but a more diverse audience, are both very important focuses for all of public radio. And we take small comfort, a little bit of comfort, in the fact that while in general the radio stations are drawing an older audience, like an average in the late 50s in terms of the audience they're getting, the public radio websites, WPR.org is probably in this, but they were mentioning NPR.org, seem to draw an audience more in the 40s. And then the podcasting and all of that is drawing an average audience in the 30s. And so we are seeing that specifically delivering content for people using the power of the internet has been a part of trying to find those programs that might attract a younger audience. I know some of the programs that we have on now, whether it's State of the Reunion or The Moth, Radio Hour, those sorts of things, are at least theoretically drawing a somewhat younger audience. But it's an ongoing dilemma for public radio that Kathy has identified. One of the things that happens, I know, is that when you get to people of a certain young age, as you would say, the only radio they might own is in the car. And so it is a real challenge for us to figure out how to reach people if they don't have a radio. So what are we doing? We're working on the idea of doing more podcasting. Our biggest podcast, if you will, is actually one of our radio shows. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge, and that's subscribed to by, I think it's 20 or 30,000 people, but we know that a lot more could subscribe to it. And NPR was talking about a new round of Invisibilia, which probably will turn into a radio show as well. That started as a podcast, and a lot of other interesting ideas. We heard a lot about a new podcast called Embedded, which the idea is that the reporters that are working on it, including All Things Considered host Kelly McEvers, will embed themselves in a story. And at the NPR events I was at, they showed something. They showed some photographs because NPR now has photographers, believe it or not, and played some tape and talked about a visit to a Doctors Without Borders hospital in South Sudan. And they spent an entire week there, and they said they get a very different story than when they're just parachuting in. And they think that's going to be a very popular thing. And so far, a lot of people seem to be subscribing to it through iTunes or the Android Google Play thing.
Yeah, I'm just not hip enough yet. But I mean, that podcast thing is really catching on. That's where young people are listening.
Yeah, you know, my daughter, who's whatever they call the folks after the millennials, so she's 27.
Gen Xers? Or?
Gen Xer. What, I always
no,
forget.
No,
the,
that,
yeah, but
okay.
The point is that the conversation we now have isn't so much about what's on the radio, even though she knows Dad works in the radio. It's any new podcast to introduce me to Dad,
yeah,
and vice versa.
Yeah.
And we've found some interesting things there. I remember one that she was particularly fond of was the Gilmore Guys. And it was two guys that watched the Gilmore Girls show and talk about it. And because she had loved that show, she talked about that. But she also listens to This American Life that way, and is a big fan of Serial, which is another public radio podcast. And so that's often how she uses the radio, is through her phone.
And for those who aren't really with this, you said our most popular podcast at Wisconsin Public Radio is To the Best of Our Knowledge, which is a radio show. What's the difference between a podcast and a radio show?
So initially, podcast meant something very specific, which was something that you would first download into your computer, then you'd put it on the very old little iPods and so on, or your MP3 players. Do people remember talking about those? What it really has come to mean is just radio that you play on your phone. A lot of times now you press it in, say, the iTunes podcast player, and it just plays. And so it's most broadly, we would call it on-demand listening. So the challenge of radio is twofold. One is the show happens at a certain time, and very much to Kathy's point, people have different life schedules, whereas the podcast, you play it on your time. And so what we're starting to hear about, too, is just like with Netflix or Hulu, people are doing binge listening of podcasts. So they might listen to a whole bunch of episodes of Serial all at once because they can. And don't have to wait for the next episode to come on a week later or a day later on radio.
And when you say subscribe to the Best of Our Knowledge podcast, does that mean you have to pay extra for it?
No. I mean, there are podcasts that ask for payments. There are ways to do that. But it simply is, by subscribe in the podcast world, it just means schedule a download of it. But you can also just look it up and listen.
Yeah. And we are, by the way, Kathy, trying to provide more talk shows on this talk show, as well as other talk shows on the Ideas Network, that would appeal to the millennials or to the younger generation. I know Kevin McKinley has a regular weekly segment now that is not just, planning for retirement, but, things that financial things that millennials would want to know about.
Yeah. And we're also very intentional about seeking out different sets of guests than we might have in the past to work on that. But it is a challenge. Radio stations tend to have a certain audience, and expanding that could mean, and this has happened to us a lot over the years, Joy, you know this, that we put a show on that does appeal to a different group of people, and the current listeners are really upset about it. So it's a delicate thing to figure out.
Well, we are past our break time, so let's take that break. And when we come back, we will talk about some other news related to Wisconsin Public Radio, including a new Ideas Network station that can be heard in the Marshfield area. And we'll take more of your questions and recommendations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine, along with WPR Director Mike Crane. This is Mondays with Mike on the Ideas Network. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, along with WPR Director Mike Crane, who joins us once a month to talk with you about all things related to Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We welcome your thoughts, your suggestions about what kind of programming you would like to hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question on how things work at Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe you'd like to know about some special listener events coming up. We'll talk about all of that. But I wanted to talk first, Mike, about this new station that is in the Marshfield area. What's this?
Yeah, this is in the parlance of the Federal Communications Commission. It's what they call a translator. It's really just another word for a small transmitter, but has special rules around it. And it is at 100.9, and it does a really great job of reaching Marshfield, which has typically had a little bit of a rough spot for receiving FM broadcasting. And it's a repeater of WLBL AM, which is one of our Ideas Network stations. And one of the particularly nice things is that it means that there's early morning and late afternoon, evening coverage that because of the way that AM radio works and the way that it's licensed for WLBL, we have to go to very low power at sunset and stay that way until sunrise. And so it also supplements that by allowing the later parts of central time, even in the middle of winter, be heard, and the earlier parts of the Joy Cardine show.
Great. Let's take some calls. We have Reed in Clintonville next. Hi, Reed.
Good morning. Thanks for this opportunity to question you about Chapter a Day. There are a number of repeats on Chapter a Day. The current book, in spite of the wonderful voice of the gentleman who just died,
Carl Schmidt. Yep.
The book is sort of depressing to begin with, but perhaps I'm just seeing it that way. However, there are so many wonderful books out there, and perhaps if you want to reach a newer and a younger audience, maybe some selections that might be more in tune with their lifestyle or something of that nature. I've just heard two books reviewed on National Public Radio, The Japanese Lover and The Girl on the Train, some time ago. And actually have now read The Girl on the Train, and I'm just finishing The Japanese Lover. And I thought either of those books might be of interest to a broader audience. And I would tell you that I have been listening to Chapter a Day for decades now, mm-hmm. and I still remember the title of a book, Swing Old Adam, that was read on Chapter a Day, and helped me get through a kind of a rough patch in my life once upon a time. So I think that Chapter a Day needs to be revisited as far as its format or planning or whomever makes the selection of the texts.
Sure.
Thank you, Reed.
Yeah, thanks, Reed. And for the specific suggestions, too, I'll pass those along to Jim after the show. I had mentioned earlier Jim Fleming is the lead producer of Chapter a Day. There are a few things going on. One is that it is a very special skill and significant time commitment to do the Chapter of a Day readings because you're required to edit someone else's book, and so we do that very sensitively. But that also hints at one of the other challenges, which is that the broadcasting rights for books are hard to come by, and that can slow us down in terms of getting a new book into the mix. What's changed over the years is that now it's very common for the rights for books on tape, as they still call it, although it might be a CD instead of a cassette, but the books on tape rights are often sold at the same time as the print rights and aren't available to us. So what we're often able to do is to say, well, you know, this is a special circumstance. This is what we're doing. We've had a great partnership with some of the local presses, like here in the Madison campus and so on, that have helped us to get some of those books. And Wisconsin writers have been a real source of inspiration, of course, but also of material. So we take it to heart, Reed, and like I say, thanks for specific suggestions
as well. And I don't think I'm speaking out of school here, but I am. My office mate is Michelle Good, and she is one of the readers for Chapter a Day, and The Girl on the Train is on her desk with all sorts of little marks on it and bookmarks. And
so maybe it's coming.
I did say, is this coming up? And I'm pretty sure she said, yeah, that it's on the list.
So. Terrific. Thanks for the call, Reed.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Let's go next to Errol in Madison. Hi, Errol.
Good morning. I just want to make the comment. I think to hear some philosophers is sorely needed. These days we, you know, put so much into science, which of course is important, and it has its area, but it's really specific. It's really narrow. Philosophy brings the whole picture in it. You know, science we get wrong so many times, like the arson science we got wrong, we had to throw it out. So many times we learn about science, we were wrong about things. Philosophy puts in the whole picture.
So you're suggesting more philosophers on the air and fewer scientists?
Well, at least more philosophers so we get the whole picture. Like when you hear studies, 70% of the time people did this. 50% of the time people did that. It doesn't show the whole picture. Mm-hmm. You know, why a judge, he gives a sentence. I mean, how could you put science in there? It has to be, you really have to think about stuff, not just statistics.
Thank you very much, Errol.
Yeah, I'd say philosophers for sure, also social scientists. Earlier we were talking about podcasts, and one of the social scientist podcasts that we heard from the host of, Shankar Vedantam, was at the NPR meeting I was at and talking about his podcast, The Hidden Brain. And listeners to Morning Edition know that there's a feature of The Hidden Brain on Morning Edition. So I know they should be listening to The Joy Cardine Show.
That's right.
and so just broadly, I think we appreciate the suggestion, Errol, that we should keep in mind that there's more than just the empirical side of the world.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Errol. Kenneth in Janesville is with us now. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. Excuse me. I remember in 1941 when Mr. Schmidt came on. I don't know if I should admit that, but
wow,
he was a true dulcet voice of radio. And I just realized I listened to him more than I listened to my older brother.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to suggest is a program dealing with climate change and all the effects of it. And I think that program could stay current for the next 200 years or so.
Did you happen to hear the discussion on University of the Air yesterday?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, wasn't that interesting?
Yes, indeed.
Tell us what that was
so
about.
So it was partly about the effect of a warming planet and some of the really challenging things to figure out in science, and that we do seem to be in a geologically different sort of an era than many past eras. Like, essentially, what I would say is a takeaway was that our guest, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name now, was saying that we have, by virtue of human activity, agriculture and later industrial, we seem to be holding off the next ice age. And he even said there's controversy about that opinion, but it was a really interesting show. And so thanks, Kenneth, for the suggestion. We do really want to have interesting programs. And I just so nice to hear that memory of Carl.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. Yeah. You know, we had a listener suggest to our audience services staff that we should do more on climate change. And the quote here from the listener, WPR should be in the forefront by having programs that talk about the consequences of climate change to Wisconsin. All hosts should be coordinated about what they should do. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I think the suggestion is that we should all be coming from the same side, that climate change is here and that it hurts and that we need to stop it.
Could be, although I might take it a different way and intend to, because I'm not sure I would ever agree that everyone should be coordinated on their opinions. That doesn't make sense. But certainly there are subjects where it would benefit from sort of a laser focus of WPR for a while. An example that actually just won an award from the Wisconsin Broadcasters is we have a developing series called WisContext, and they did a whole series of really in-depth reports that relate to climate, including a series on the effects of El Nino in Wisconsin, and that's sort of a big climate event that has a multi-year period, and so certainly something that we're interested in.
And indeed, we do have some special programming coming up on the Ideas Network. One show is related to climate change and clean water. I think that's Thirsty Planet, Mike.
Sunday, May 15th, we'll have it on at 2 p.m. here on the Ideas Network. And it's talking about how climate change is cutting off some people's access to clean water. It's making drought worse in some places, and yet it triggers torrential rains in others. So it's a documentary that travels the world on some of our most pressing water problems. Again, that's Thirsty Planet, Sunday, May 15th at 2.
And one of our callers suggested we do more shows for millennials, and among, she said, programs that would be addressed to young parents. And we do have Reinventing Childhood coming up.
Yeah, Sunday, May 29th at 2. It's a look at what some people call the reinvention of childhood. Is technology rewiring kids' brains? I mean, who hasn't seen a one-year-old that knows how to work an iPhone? You know, that is sort of amazing to see. And also we'll look at how parental behavior has evolved and how that might mold children in entirely new ways.
And that's coming up on Sunday, May 29th.
2 p.m.
Let's take a call next from Karen in Eau Claire. Hi, Karen.
Good morning.
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 I have a suggestion, more of a desire than a suggestion. I would love to hear the radio do coverage on Wisconsin entrepreneurs. I think it's a hidden talent, and for people that are looking for new jobs or ways to sort of develop their own concepts, solve problems, market, et cetera. I'm interested in what's going on in the state. You know, efforts of passion, so to speak.
Yeah, and often of great skill when people invent new things or invent new ways of doing things or just open up their own new business. That's a good topic. I don't know when we most recently covered it, but it certainly makes sense for it to be on our list.
Thank you, Karen, for that that idea. We are welcoming your questions about Wisconsin Public Radio, your feedback on what you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Mondays with Mike, the May edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane is here, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He'll answer your questions, respond to your feedback at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Kerdine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Kerdine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Kerdine. This is the May edition of Mondays with Mike, talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Mike, I want to talk about some of these special listener events that we have coming up in the month of May. I know I'm going to be attending Toast the Hosts at Titletown Brewing in Green Bay on May 19th. Sounds like fun.
It should be great. You can lift a glass of probably beer in this case with Joy and Noah Ovshinsky, who many people here are doing reports here. He's our news director, reporter Patty Murray. John Munson, who was on last week on your show, plans to be there as well. And also the Northeast Wisconsin Regional Show hosts and staff will be there. Just a really fun group of people, and enough so I think that a lot of listeners will have a chance to interact with you, which I know we appreciate at least as much as the listeners appreciate interacting with us. And that's Thursday, May 19th, 5 to 8 p.m., it's in the new rooftop bar at Titletown Brewing.
And Titletown Brewing was named by USA Today. I think there was a reader's poll, but it was named the best brewery, you know, craft brewery in the nation.
Not bad.
Yeah, so yeah, that's quite the claim to fame, and it should be a lot of fun. And I will be broadcasting the next morning from our Green Bay studios. Not that it's going to be a special big remote, public remote or anything like that, but I'm looking forward to that and broadcasting from our Green Bay studios where I started 30 years ago this year.
That's right.
Yeah, so yeah. I'll be back.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thanks. Then there's also the same night, there is a WPR listener event in Milwaukee.
That's right. They're calling it the WPR Social. It's at Anodyne Coffee, and it's also sponsored by Wollersheim Winery. They'll have a chance to have some great food and wine, and some other hosts. Kathleen Dunn will be there, Rob Ferret and Veronica Rickert, Chuck Kornbach, Kyla Calvert-Mason, our new assistant news director, plans to be there, and lots of behind-the-scenes staff as well. And it's come as at whatever time you like and stay as long as you like. Both of these events we think will be very crowded, so keep that in mind. And be part of the crowd. So that's Thursday. Wednesday, May 19th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Anodyne Coffee, which is on 224 West Bruce Street in Milwaukee.
That sounds fun, too. And I know since I talked about the Titletown Brewing winning a Best Brewery Award, I know that Wollersheim Winery is also winning awards all over the place for Best Winery in the nation, too. So, and then we have an open house in Madison on June 4th probably everybody's going to be at.
There'll be a whole lot of staff here. It's 1 to 5 p.m. At our studios on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Madison in Vilas Hall, and I believe we'll also have some at Old Radio Hall, which is our historic facility and should be fun to visit as well. Hosts, producers, staff, and you can go behind the scenes, and we'll have a more detailed schedule pushed out. I should say that people that subscribe to our email are the ones who hear about all of this first, so certainly it's worth being a member, subscribing to our email so you get advance notice of all of these events.
Can we subscribe to the email by going to WPR.org?
You can, but we have to work on making that easier to do. I'd have to give a bunch of instructions. So go on your expedition to dive in and do that if you'd like, but even better, when the pledge drive comes up later this week, become a member and add your email address.
There we go. So that'll be a lot of fun. Now we've got so many other callers. Let's get to the phone.
Yeah.
Let's go next to Dana in Two Rivers. Hi, Dana.
Hello. Hey, I can't tell you how much I appreciate WPR and all of the wonderful listening that it provides. I think I'm 32. I don't know what generation that puts me in. I've also been a sustainer for a number of years.
I'm
really disappointed about the moth moving. It's been a tradition for my husband and I for a long time. And the other stuff I kind of want to say is, podcasts are great, but the radio is special. And I think to get people to support the radio, it needs to be playing on the radio. And that's about it. I love Joy Cardine. I love Larry Mueller, Garden Talk. I love all the wonderful stuff you guys do.
Oh, thank you so much, Dana. But you were fond of the moth being on Friday nights, and now it moved to what now? Wednesday night?
It's Thursday night at 7, yeah.
And the show that's in its place, I'm sorry. I don't think it's, it's entertainment. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I know it's designed for a younger listener, but it's kind of trash radio in my opinion.
That's the dinner party download, that one? So that doesn't meet your taste at all then. Okay.
Well, no. I think quality listening is better.
Yeah, so the Moth Radio, and I'm sorry, it went from, it's now on Thursday nights.
Thursday nights, 7 o'clock. And, and this is the endless challenge of a radio schedule, is trying to figure out what's right. And I agree that it really makes sense for things to be on the radio. So, in fact, a lot of the discussion that station people are telling the podcasters is, make a version that we can use. One of the things that a lot of podcasters seem to like is that they don't have to be ruled by the clock the way that we do. In fact, Joy, we've had many conversations with listeners on this show over the years about, well, why do you have to take those breaks all the time? It interrupts the flow. And podcasters many times don't have those same constraints, to which the radio people's answer is, yeah, but if you made it so that it was, as we say, newscast compatible, and it was 59 minutes in length or whatever, then we could put it on the radio and gather an even bigger audience. So what I've come to think of podcasting as in many ways is really a lab for developing great new radio shows as well. An example of that was a podcast before it was a feature on public radio, and it's still a great podcast, is Planet Money. It was, in fact, you could think of the original Planet Money episode was The Giant Pool of Money, which was on This American Life. And then it became this juggernaut on the web and so on. And thanks, Dana.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dana, for the call. You weren't on last month's Mondays with Mike. I think Mike Arnold was.
Yeah.
We did talk about these programming changes affecting primarily the weeknight evenings on the Ideas Network. And instead of repeating shows like this one and Kathleen mm-hmm. Dunn's show, some newer programs or different programs were put in place. Can you explain what goes into making these decisions, a program change decision, Mike?
Yeah, there are a number of factors we're always thinking about, and one of them most certainly is the ratings. We look at the Nielsen ratings and try to figure out what they're telling us. If something is obviously not popular, that mm-hmm. might be a good reason to move it on. Also, we really are interested in doing what a number of callers have talked about, which is introducing new things. The challenge is that if you introduce those new things where something is very popular, that can be very upsetting. And I know we're going to face one of those come July because the Saturday schedule is going to change. We are no longer going to have What Do You Know, which we've talked about before. Something else will go there. We're working hard on that right now, and I expect we'll have an announcement fairly soon on what the change will be. But that's going to be a big change for a lot of people, and we know how hard that is. That said, making some changes is giving us a chance to introduce Latino USA Tuesdays at 7, which a lot of people have asked for in the past. Ken Rudin's Political Junkie on Friday at 7 p.m. I think people that know Ken's work just are really glad that he's on the radio with this new show.
You know, and Dana was a fan of The Moth, and that reminds me that The Moth is in Madison tonight.
Yeah, they have a monthly Geiger show at the High Noon Saloon, and it's just it's been really selling out. So I'm almost reluctant to talk about it because it's tonight at 7:30 p.m. and it's probably sold out. We have a table there every time, and often have a chance to speak from the stage or something like that. But I would say it's like the first or second Monday every month. So take a look at the High Noon Saloon website to track that and see when they'll sell tickets to the next one.
Yeah, so there will be other opportunities in June, July, and August.
You got it.
And you can attend the Moth Story Slam in person if you'd like. Let's go to Daryl in Couderay. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Joy.
Yes, go ahead. What's your idea?
Well, my idea is I'm wondering if you could do a show, and it could be like a series of shows on faith and what people place their faith in. Now, I don't necessarily mean religious faith, but, you know, their faith to get through the day, their faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a show that we've talked about picking up that might do that. And certainly, in the meantime, look for the podcast, right? That's the theme today. But it's called On Being. And I've had a number of people who've heard it on other public stations say it ought to be on our station. So I'm sure it is on Mike Arnold's list of shows to consider.
Yeah, as a regular show. Yeah. I know that, to the best of our knowledge, I believe, has done some specials along the lines.
Yeah,
of
they even did a five-part special on faith issues. But that was a while ago. So might be time for them to look at something different on that list as well.
Yeah. Let's go to Nick in Manitowoc now. Hi, Nick.
Hello. Good morning. How are
morning.
You doing? There's so many great things about WPR I was thinking about when I was listening. I hate to complain, but look, I can't even remember what I was going to complain about.
Yeah, you know, Nick, I didn't know you were going to complain, but...
I don't mean complain, I mean criticize, but, you know.
Yeah.
What you told our producer was that you didn't think there was a lot of state political analysis on some of the shows.
Yeah, some concentrate more on looking at national politics. And this is the endless challenge of deciding what to talk about on the Ideas Network is that I think it's fair to say any topic is fair game for us to consider, whether it's extremely local or national, international, and I understand certainly the preference for more Wisconsin coverage. We try to have a lot of that. Sorry that you didn't remember that exactly, Nick, but thanks for calling in.
Yeah, let's go to Nancy in Grafton next. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning. I sure miss, there's no place to hear classical music anywhere on the radio. And I also wanted to know, how does a person get to be a full-time employee of Wisconsin Radio? My questions for today.
All right. Sure. So one thing that's often true for listening to classical is that if you have an HD radio, we actually have a full-time classical channel on there. And so I would say in Grafton, what you'd want to do, just because of your location, is pick up an HD radio. You can find them online probably best. And then you can tune to the HD signal of WHAD, and you'll find 24/7 classical there. But it's not on the analog radio in a lot of places. There are far fewer classical or jazz stations, for that matter, than there once were. And then as far as becoming a full-time employee, it's actually the same as becoming a part-time employee. We have jobs listed at WPR.org/jobs. And we, generally speaking, run through a typical university-style search process, meaning that we first will screen applicants for their qualifications that were listed in the job posting. And then there'll be a search committee that may invite some of those people to a phone interview to do some further sifting through the list. And then finally, they have in-person interviews for a few people. And if any of those work out, they are offered the job. That's the basic process for how one becomes an employee.
Yeah. Mike, let me ask you about something my postal carrier asked my husband about. He said, why is Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television doing door-to-door canvassing?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Door-to-door canvassing is one of the oldest methods of fundraising, right? And just knocking on someone's door and asking if they'll contribute. And we're doing it. Public television's actually been doing it for a year and a half or so around the state, specifically Wisconsin Public Television, and it was very successful. And so we've been watching that, and now are doing our own experiments with that. We've got like a 3-month trial working with the same folks, and you know, we're always trying to make our fundraising the most efficient and effective. And what our own experience is telling us is that the door-to-door canvassing is more effective than direct mail. So if you imagine direct mail is spending money to send a whole pile of requests in the mail for people to become members, and you get a very low rate of return on that. Actually going to someone's home and knocking on the door seems to still be really effective. And what we're hearing in our own early returns from it is that many people sign up as sustainers. So what that suggests to me is they're already listeners, but they have busy lives. Maybe they didn't hear the pledge drive because they're pretty short and they don't happen all the time. But they value WPR or WPT enough to sign up as a sustainer.
We have just a minute to go, but I have to take David in Wanakee's call. Hi, David. Can you be brief, please?
I can be very brief. I am a Wisconsin person and lived in Florida for the past 2 years. I am now back in Wisconsin permanently. I missed Wisconsin Public Radio tremendously. The quality of Wisconsin Public Radio in comparison to many other states is far superior to a lot of things that one hears throughout the rest of the country. Therefore, it is important to support public radio in Wisconsin. Keep sending money. Keep doing your good works.
Hear, 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 hear.
Thank you for that testimonial, David, and for everybody for listening. And whether it's criticizing, complaining, critiquing, complimenting, any of it is great. We're so glad to hear from you all.
Yeah, really. Thank you very much, Mike, for being here. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of each month, to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. And we will do this again next month. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Naija Ellison, to Chris Molina for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.